Tonight we're going to be talking about a subject called the road to glory. This is a lesson that I heard, it had to have been a couple years ago, from a guy named, I think his name was Tony Mock out of Texas, and he was preaching at the Highway 65 Church of Christ in Conway. And if y'all aren't familiar with the Highway 65 Church of Christ, that's where Bruce Reeves, and if you don't know who Bruce Reeves is, you can't miss him. He's about 6'8", and about 250 pounds. He's a big guy. And this lesson that he was presenting caught my attention, and I took some pretty good notes on it, and I decided that I would turn this lesson into my own words and kind of preach this, you know, try to attempt to preach this lesson maybe halfway as decent as he did. In case y'all didn't notice, most of the songs we were singing tonight had to do with glory. To God be the glory. The second verse of that song caught my attention as we were singing it. It says, "O perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God." And here's the most important part to me that I noticed. "The vilest offender who truly believes, when buried with Jesus, a pardon receives." That right there tells me there is nothing you can do. Nothing you can do. You can murder somebody. You hear me? You can murder somebody. You could commit adultery. But if your heart truly wants to repent of what you have done, sure, you can't go back and fix what you've done, but you can repent and change your lifestyle. And God will forgive you. The only sin that God will not forgive is when you're not willing to repent of what you've done. May I submit to you that the road to glory, there is no in-between. Either you're on it or you're off it. And may I submit to you tonight that if you are not on that road, you need to get on that road. It's confusing to me to think that so many who saw the glory and miracles of God and of Jesus still found it so easy to turn away from them, to the point where they just absolutely mocked them. It was a joke to them. We study every Wednesday night about the Jews who so often turned away from God and then turned back to God and turned their back on God once again. It was convenient for them to do what they wanted to do. Glory, as defined by the online dictionary, is great honor and praise. You know, some people often say that glory fades in time. And there's a song, a country song that most of y'all won't know, but it goes a little bit something like this. Scars heal and glory fades. But I don't know about the fact that glory fades, because the glory of Christ was evident while He was here on earth, and is evident now, and He's ascended into heaven. He's no longer on this earth. Those who have truly known the glory of the Lord know that, it's a lasting thing, and it's one worth praising. A few examples I'm going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about David, and we're going to talk about Paul. Two men who had two completely different roads to glory, in my opinion. Psalm 16, as Michael read a little bit ago, David recognizes the life of the one who seeks to please himself. The one that rather would worship God. And what does he say about those people? What will their sorrows be? What will happen to those? Their sorrows will be multiplied. In contrast, David speaks of those who have the glory of the Lord at their right hand. Their heart shall be what? Their heart shall be glad. And he shall be shown the pathway of life. There is simply a constant joy when you're following God. Another thing I sit around and think about, atheists sometimes, and I seriously think about how miserable their life must be. The Jews were always, like I was saying, were always so happy when God was providing for them and keeping watch over them. And when they turned their backs on God, it wasn't too long before they were miserable again. Is this echoing? No? Okay. What is there to look forward to if you're an unbeliever? You're in a what I call a lose-lose situation. You know what? If you're an unbeliever, you better pray to God that there is no God. You better pray. Because if there is a God, you're in trouble. You're in absolute trouble. How would you like to stand before your Maker one day, who you have denied your entire life, and look Him in the eye and tell Him, "Oops, I didn't know. But yet God will look back at you and say, could you not look around and see my glory? A Christian has a reward to look forward to if and only if they do what the Lord has commanded. Let's consider David. We all know the story of David and Bathsheba. He lusted after her. He laid with her. And then he had Uriah murdered. We are talking, like I was saying, about adultery and murder. Two sins that society, and I'm talking about today's society and even then society, would probably look down upon today more than they would probably look down upon a lie. Now, we all know that a sin is a sin, but we're in terms of society, we're talking about a sin that most people would acknowledge is wrong. Yes, it is true that no sin is greater than another, but in the eyes of society, these two sins in particular would be criticized. And the story of Bathsheba, if you don't know, is in 2 Samuel chapters 11 through chapter 12. Now we know David had Uriah murdered, and we know he had laid with Bathsheba. Yet we also know that David was called a man after God's own heart. The question is, why was he called a man after God's own heart? We know that he transgressed the will of God. But in Acts chapter 13, we see verses 16 through 22, we see that the verse says there that I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. Referring back to when Saul, Acts chapter 13, there's a footnote. It's referring back to when Saul was removed as king of Israel. David was a man who was willing to do what God wanted. Yes, he transgressed the will of God. Yes, he sinned. But he ultimately came to his senses and did what God wanted him to do. He repented of his sins. He acknowledged he did wrong. How simple that is, and yet how hard is that for us to do? When we sin, can we forgive ourselves? God will. But can we forgive ourselves? Can we ask for forgiveness? Can we acknowledge that we did something wrong? You know, I think of David as being just like me. You know, someone who makes mistakes occasionally, not on purpose. I would hope not on purpose. But at the end of the day, he is willing to do the will of God and make right the wrongs that are in his life. Your family may never forgive you. Your friends may never forgive you. Your wife or husband, boyfriend or girlfriend, may never forgive you for something you have done to them. But I will tell you that there is one. There is one who is faithful even when you aren't, and is willing to forgive you if your heart is in the right place and you're ready to turn your life around. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 talks about how we are to hold fast the confession of our faith of hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. The thing is, if we can remain on that road to glory, I'll promise you that God is always going to be faithful if you are faithful. Paul. Not exactly the same situation as David, but a sinner in his early life nonetheless. A man who, before he was a Christian, persecuted Christians and said he was a faithful follower to what his fathers believed, and he was even more faithful than his fathers were in those traditions. He exceeded his fathers in what they believed. The man who stood by in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, and watched while Stephen was stoned to death. You know what? He didn't do a thing to stop it. The man who made havoc of the church. I think that's Acts chapter 8, verse 3 or 5. I can't remember. But havoc. According to the Merriam-Webster's dictionary, havoc is defined as wide and general destruction, devastation, great confusion, and disorder. He caused wide and outspread devastation of the church. Yet Paul was chosen to preach the gospel. And he was always quick. And I don't know if you ever read the epistles of Paul, but he was always quick to acknowledge that he was not worthy of the love of Christ after he was converted. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 reads, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Paul knew he was a sinner. Paul acknowledged it. But yet Christ chose him to spread the gospel. He was made an apostle. He rebuked Peter to his face, the man who was responsible for delivering the Word of God to so many. A sinner, but the Word of God came upon an honest heart. You know, if the Word of God comes upon an honest heart, that person is most likely to repent because they are looking for the truth. And that's what Paul was doing. Paul was looking for the truth. Why did God choose Paul? You know, it's obvious that, sure, he was a Roman, that he knew how to defend against the Jews' belief of keeping the Old Covenant, because that's what he had been taught. Paul could travel all across the Roman Empire because he was a Roman citizen. But the main reason why I think he was chosen lies in his heart. He was one that would exceed expectations. He didn't try to do the bare minimum. He wanted to go above and beyond what he could do and what God expected of him. Just as he did with his father's traditions, he wanted to live up to the expectations of God and even above it. You want to talk about a road to glory? Imagine being able to say in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7 and verse 8, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." What a wonderful example. A wonderful example of someone who was once not on the road to glory, who didn't even know what the road to glory was, but changed his life. And once he got on that road to heaven, he never got off that road. It was his goal while he was on this earth to seek and save the lost. You know, I teach whenever Anthony's not here, I teach the high school class or the younger kids class, and I talk to them about responsibility. Responsibility of a Christian while we're here on this earth. Why are we here on this earth? You know, I mean, of course, there's 100 answers they could have given me. They just stared at me bright-eyed. But I told them our main goal on this earth is to seek and save the lost. That's what Christ was here to do. Christ was here to save, not to destroy. That's what we're here to do. We're here to seek and save the lost. Why has Christ not come yet? Maybe we're still trying to save souls. Maybe that's what He wants us to do. Some things that we as Christians must deal with on the road to glory. Sure, we talk about the good. Holiness, rejoicing, the reward that God has prepared for you in heaven, that mansion over the hilltop. Talk about how we are satisfied on this earth with what we've got, learning to be content. But what about the bad? There's so much time on this earth. Christ refers to our life as being a vapor. But some days, I'll tell you what, it seems like the day is never going to end. But you know what? Before you know it, the day is over with and tomorrow has come. We sing about the song "Farther Along." Farther Along. Number 5 in the supplemental. I'm not going to sing it. I just want to read a couple of the verses. Talking about time. Tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder. Another one of the things. Thought. We're on this earth for so long, we have time, we have thought. Why is it us? Why should it be us all the day long? While there are others, living about us, never molested, never bothered, nothing ever happens to them, though they're in the wrong. A lot of thoughts. Ever thought about that? When death has come and taken our loved ones, it leaves our home so lonely and drear. Then do we wonder why others prosper, living so wicked year after year. There is a reward laid up for heaven, laid up for us in heaven if we are faithful. The people who look to the carnality and to the material things of this world, those things are only going to last so long. They fade. Those things fade in time. Glory never fades. Faithful till death, said our loving Master. A few more days to labor and wait. Toils of the road will then seem as nothing as we sweep through the beautiful gate. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 10, Paul speaking again. It reads, "And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am made strong." The true peace on this earth is being able to find contentment even when you're going through the worst times. The road to glory is not going to be easy. And another thing I'll submit to you, that something that is easy to obtain is probably not worth having. Something worth having is easy to lose. Easy to lose. Psalm chapter 16, verse 11. "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." The question tonight is, who would sacrifice glory if they knew how great it was? You know, at one point in time, and I promised Autumn I wouldn't talk about this, but she's not here. At one point in time, 2009, whenever I was playing baseball, and we won the state championship. I can remember dogpiling there on the middle of the field, and my coach told us after the game, "No, this is something that no one can ever take from you. No matter, you can go all throughout life, and this is something that no one can ever take from you." I'll tell you right now that salvation, the forgiveness of sin, nobody can take that from you except yourself. You can lose the love of Christ if you fall off that road. Who would sacrifice that glory if they knew how great it was? Isaiah chapter 35, verses 8 through 10. It reads, "A highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go upon it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Isaiah chapter 35. The highway of holiness, where sorrow and sighing flee away. This lesson tonight, as most of my lessons are never designed to be too long. I've always been taught to tell them what you're going to say, say what you need to say, and then get off the podium. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Hopefully tonight, I haven't repeated myself too much, but I hope that when we see Jesus coming in glory, when He comes from His home in the sky, that we shall meet Him in that bright mansion, and that eventually we'll understand it all by and by. Question is, again, who, having once obtained glory, would sacrifice it? Looking over the audience, I don't see anybody who hasn't, that I know of, that hasn't already yet been baptized. But you know what? Maybe you're here tonight, and perhaps you've gone astray from that road. Maybe you've forgotten how wonderful the glory of God, of the Lord, really is. Remember that the Lord will be faithful if you will turn and repent and obey His will. Maybe you've never been on that road. You know, like I was saying, Paul at one point in time was not on that road. But you know what? He got on that road and he never got off. That's the hard thing to do, is once you get on that road, to never get off. Farther along, don't you want to be in heaven? Farther along, we'll know all about it. Tonight, if there's any way that we can help you, whether it be through the prayers offered by those here, by the congregation here, or rather be you come forward this evening and being baptized, you can be on that road to glory. And there are people here who will help you remain on that road. You know, the easy part of being on the road to glory is coming through these doors and being in here with Christians. The hard part is going out those doors and living a faithful life. If you could live a life around Christians 24/7, I don't think you'd have any problem being a Christian. The problem is when you go out those doors, when you go to work, when you go to school, who are you? No one's perfect. You can be. You can be. Don't get me wrong. But all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yet He is faithful if you will be. If there's any way we can help you, why don't you come now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.